Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. Most especially if you happen to be visiting with us or you're someone's guest, a special welcome to you. Great to have you here. If you're with us online on the video live stream, we welcome you as well. Kirsten is at the cameras today, and she would be happy to hear from you by way of the chat. So leave a note, and we'll reply as soon as possible. Good that you're there with us. And also, if you're joining us by way of the recorded audio podcast, we welcome you as well. A couple of things by way of announcement. Just a reminder once again that if you are here with younger children, don't feel that you need to be glued to your seat. If you need to be up and move about a bit, that's certainly quite all right. And there are also some things back in the back corner there that might help to distract if necessary. And we're happy to have you with us. At the time of making communion today, if you can approach by way of the center aisle in two lines and return to your seats by way of the side, that will help facilitate our movement. Just to note that we are not administering by way of intinction at the moment. That is, we're not dipping the bread into the wine. So if it's your intention not to drink from the common chalice, that's okay. Just take the bread only. Also, if you're in need of gluten-free host, we have those available. Please just ask. And also, if you're not wanting to make communion, but you would like to come forward as a member of the family of God, placing your arms like this will indicate to the administrator that you're requesting a blessing. Our sympathies and condolences this weekend to Lillian Ketch on the death of her father, Hendrik Rompelman. And so our prayers for Lillian and other members of her family. There will be a visitation tomorrow at York Funeral Home. That's on the north side between 3 and 5 p.m. So if you could remember her in your prayers, that would certainly be appreciated. Also, just to mention, and you've probably seen notice of this, but our sexton, Darren Lewis, is no longer in our employ. And we thank Darren for his service to us, and we wish him well in his future endeavors. The job for sexton will be posted, and is posted now, until this coming Tuesday. So if there's someone that you know that might be interested in that, please have them consult our website. It's fairly obvious there. And also a word of thanks to the Guild of St. Joseph, who once again has stepped up and is helping to sort of fill the gaps. And so we're very appreciative of their help and their ministry among us. Just a reminder as well that after worship today, there will be an information session in preparation for and to look ahead to a planned mission to Belize in 2026. So we're hoping winter, early spring of next year, and there will be all sorts of ways to be able to help and engage in that project. So it isn't just about going to Belize. There are also many other things that need to be done and can be done. So a mission like that really needs to be an effort of an entire congregation, even though only a few people are actually on the front line and make the trip. So if you have interest and would like to explore ways that you can be involved, that information session will be immediately, well, not immediately after worship. We'll have some refreshments first, but fairly soon, and you're invited to stay behind for that conversation and that information. And just a reminder as well that there is choral evensong this afternoon at 4 p.m. So you're certainly invited back for that event. Is there anything else that needs announcing? Nobody can even make something up, eh? Just get on with it, they say. John, you've got your hand high. Poetry on the Lawn. He's making things up now. No, Poetry on the Lawn on Wednesday. That's Wednesday, right? Yes. Yep. So there's... What's that? Oh, see, now you've got...
It's no time yet, but it'll be 50 years since I came to Cana on June 26th.
June 26th, yeah. It will be 50 years. Since you came to Canada. That's a celebration. Wow, we're so glad that you came.
Me too.
And I was just going to say, and I bet John is too. Yeah.
Oh, that's. I'm very happy
to. Yeah, that's neat, Rosa. Oh, very good. Yeah. Excellent. And there's another hand.
We have high school graduates in our presence.
A high school graduate? Oh, indeed we do. Yep. We had said congratulations to them last week, but we'll say it again.
Nice.
So congratulations to Claire, and congratulations to Alex. And is there anybody else who needs congratulations? I graduated once upon a time, if you'd like to congratulate me. Yes, John. Jim Clowater is having a birthday. Happy birthday to Jim Clowater. Oh, you canceled that? It is on? He's still going to have on Friday. On Thursday. Okay. I'm never going to start to ask for more announcements again. I'm just kidding. No, that is great. Today we're worshiping according to the Come Worship style, and pretty much everything that you will need, you'll find on the blue-colored leaflet. The call to worship begins on the first page, and as we join in that, I'll ask you to stand. As the deer longs for the water brooks, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul is athirst for God, athirst for the living God. When shall I come to appear before the presence of God? O come, let us worship.
Time to worship. Now is the time to
O God, our defender, storms rage about us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear, and preserve us all from unbelief, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you, you are one with Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Bye.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now, there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding. And the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized and with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for them, for him. The word of the Lord.
If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The passage from St. Paul's letter to Galatian Christians, beginning at verse 23 of that chapter, is brief but fully packed. So much so that when it's read as a conclusion to what precedes it, it is an incredibly powerful answer to questions we may not be asking. But the Galatians were asking them. And because they did, we've settled into a Christian perspective we now take very much for granted. Here, Paul is writing to new Christians who are struggling to make the leap from their Jewish heritage to belief in Jesus who was raised from the dead. The audience of these words are agitators. Aren't we thankful we don't have agitators in the church of today? We can surmise the questions and the claims being made based on what Paul is answering. It's a challenge to come up with the question when all we have is the answer, but actually that happens quite often in Scripture. Alex Trebek died in 2020, and his claim to fame, if you'll remember, was the game show Jeopardy, built around that very challenge. It is the world's largest museum, education, and research complex, was the answer. The contestant needed to provide the question. What is the Smithsonian Institution? This third chapter from A Letter to Galatians begins with Paul addressing Christians there this way. And you'll see this back in the early verses of that chapter. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? The area of contention at hand was, how much does a Gentile need to be like a Jew to be a Christian? Now that's a question that sounds odd to the modern ear, since the Christian church has been dominated by non-Jews for longer than we can remember. But it was the central and perhaps most important question for the early church. While sex, politics, and social justice consumes the attention of the church today, they were all secondary to the deeply theological dilemma in St. Paul's day. It was, what does authentically revealed Christian faith look like? Many new Christians were having difficulty determining where they fit in the religious landscape. The claim that Jesus is the Messiah required a significant shift in the traditional Jewish understanding of God. While most of us take very much for granted the well-developed notion of a threefold God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we need to understand that that was a brand new concept for a faith community steeped in ancient Jewish thought, scripture, and teaching. So the dilemma was essentially this. On the one hand, the new church could worship a God who is willing to break promises, but that will take them away from the claim that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. On the other hand, they can pursue a vision of the continuing faithfulness of God's promises to Abraham, which seemingly excludes Gentiles and all non-Jews, and makes the new gospel of the crucified Lord irrelevant to the Jews. Pursuing either road would delegitimize the church's witness to the core revelation in Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the ancient law and the prophets. He is the very essence of the one true God of the ages. Spirit God in human flesh. God has always been God, and God always will be. So the law, Paul says, was the disciplinarian, the guardian. The purpose of the law was to train God's people, making them ready for the revelation of the one true God in Jesus the Messiah. It was always God's intention to send his Son. Jesus wasn't God's plan B. Jesus had always been plan A. He always existed. One can see the gospel, the good news, the person of Jesus peeking through even the pages of the Old Testament. True unity of purpose and the pathway into the presence of God is through the Son. Belief and accepting this purpose in the person of Jesus is God's ageless plan for humanity. In a church that celebrates equality in the face of social stratification and unity, even sometimes at the bewilderment of the rest of the world, in the midst of individual distinctiveness, this passage is especially beloved and helps the pieces fall into place. Commentator Mark Douglas says, "The real question is whether this text can surprise us." It can, he says, repeatedly. Because it tells us something about how we label ourselves and how others label us. Something about how we can and should celebrate our differences. And that the way we see ourselves can be thought of as a reflection of the very God we worship. So at least for those of us in the Western world, baptism is not the project of shedding all our group identifiers until we stand naked and can be clothed in Christ. It is discovering that being a member of the family of God is our true group identifier. And all too often, modern thinkers forget this in our preoccupation with the individual, whether at the liturgical level or of the level of personal confession, the cultural level of expressive individualism, or the political level of inalienable human rights. So that's a first surprise. A second surprise follows from the first. It's that being clothed alike in Christ does not mean that distinctions disappear. Paul's change in conjunctions, when he says Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, is far from accidental. We can be very different, you and I, but we can also be one in Christ. Diversity is one of God's greatest gifts. Just take a look around. We don't become Christian in order to join the church. We join the church, and in the experience of living its life, we are formed. We become Christian. And in a very real way, all of us are continuing to become Christians. We who are heirs of Abraham regularly forget that and determine that the structures of the church should be according to the old distinctions. Whether those structures have to do with gender, roles, class advantages, political alliances, or race relations. We are all different, and we need to celebrate our differences. But maybe the greatest surprise of all, the third surprise, is that to be clothed in Christ and thereby shaped neither by individual categories nor by old distinctions like ethnicity, social status, or even gender, may mean that relations in the church might best be understood as mirroring the relations found in the Holy Trinity. The key revelation of Christianity is that three distinct persons are nevertheless one God. And while we take that so for granted, that's really quite profound. Many distinct and different Christians are nevertheless one church. So, you know, while it was very tempting to preach today about evil spirits and pigs, and how the craziness of the world we encounter in 2025 threatens to drive us all out of our minds, perhaps refocusing on the foundational and essential is in some ways of even greater value. We are heirs of an ageless promise. Part of a long lineage of faith. One that reaches back to the very beginning of time and of the world. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise, Paul argues. And that promise is beyond our understanding. To live a life with God that has a distinctive eternal quality, a life in Christ, with one another and with the Son of the Most High God and His Spirit. And that we live that life forever and ever. Amen. The Christian faith is an ancient faith. One of the unique characteristics of the English Church, the Anglican Church, is that we're constantly looking back to the roots of Christianity to discover or rediscover what made Christianity distinctive according to the apostles and the initial revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. Some of the understandings, especially perhaps that of God being threefold, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is contained in the earliest of creeds, the statements of Christian faith. And I'd invite you to turn with me on the blue leaflet. The first page near the bottom of the second column, you'll find the words of the Nicene Creed in a responsive format. And I'd invite you to stand as we say the creed together. Let us confess our faith as we say, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.
Amen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We have come together to worship and adore you, Sovereign God, trusting in love and mercy, in Jesus who intercedes for us. We offer our prayers and petitions to you, Father, saying, hear our prayer. We pray for all who minister in your name, including Jeffrey, our dean, David, our archbishop, Anne, our acting primate, and our honorary assisting clergy, Grod and John, and Deacons Isabel and Debbie. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, Igreja Anglicana de Mocambique e Angola, Archbishop Vicente Massosa, Presiding Bishop and Bishop of Zambezia Missionary Diocese. In the provincial cycle of prayer, the National Indigenous Archbishop Chris Harper and the Anglican Council of Indigenous Peoples. Lord, in your mercy. It is your will, O God, to hold both heaven and earth in a single peace. Let the design of your great love shine on this world and give peace to your church, peace among nations, peace in our homes, and peace in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. You came to give honor to the least, those forgotten, overlooked, misjudged, misunderstood, undervalued, the lost, the orphaned, the abandoned, and the destitute. Help us to be your ears to listen to their cries, to be your voice speaking out of love and acceptance, to be your feet walking beside those in need, to be your hands to clothe, feed, and shelter them. Lord, in your mercy. In these times of global uncertainty, especially recently in the Middle East, may we continue to turn to you for rest, for guidance, for endurance, knowing that we are all children of God through faith. Lord, in your mercy. We ask that you comfort all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially in our thoughts, Donna, Charles, and Jean, Pat, Dwight, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Judy, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, Janice, Dolph, David and Maureen, Heather, Carol, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, and Savannah, and anyone else you would care to name aloud at this time or in silence. Lift them up on eagle's wings, Lord, as well as those who provide them with care and support. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, revive us, enrich us, transform us to fervently seek your kingdom and righteousness, such that ultimately, as we live out the gospel message faithfully, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Join me in words of confession. Holy One, God Most High, grant us faith to confess our sins and seek your mercy. There are barren places in our lives where we have wandered far from you. We have listened to voices who distracted us from your call. We have submitted to powers competing for our loyalty to you. We have not taken the hand you offer to lead us out of God-forsakenness and into your holy ways. God, our Savior, forgive us. Quench our thirst for you from the rock of our salvation, and let your love well up in us unto eternal life. Speak tenderly to us of your presence. Feed us with your word. Deliver us from evil. Let us enter into your kingdom. Then send us out to serve you by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ covers us with baptismal waters. We are clothed in Christ Jesus. This Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, is sovereign even over the powers of evil, so that his reign brings freedom and joy. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Thank you. Eternal God, you have made our Savior Jesus Christ the head of all creation. Receive all we offer you this day and renew us in his risen life, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The prayer of great thanksgiving, the Eucharistic prayer, is an opportunity for us to thank God for his creation and for all those diverse things that are part of what God has made. During the prayer, you're welcome to remain standing, or you may wish to sit or kneel, whatever way you are most comfortable. And as we pray, it is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. By your law and the prophets, you invited us into relationship with you and prepared your people to welcome you in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we turned away from you, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. By your holy apostle, St. Paul, you taught us that we are heirs of your promise, that in Christ there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for those who love you are one in Christ Jesus. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that through baptism we are clothed with him and we belong to him. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the sacrifice of sin. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise, and we lift our voices to praise you with angels and archangels and the host of heaven, and we sing the song of your eternal heaven. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. Do not weigh our merits, but pray, but pardon our offenses, and fill us all who share in this holy communion with your grace and heavenly blessing. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as
Christ Jesus is the bread of life. He is manna come down from heaven. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One in the Lord, one in the Lord.
As we stand, let us pray. Almighty God, guide and protect your people who share in this sacred mystery, and keep us always in your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise, by loving others to the glory of God. Rejoice in your salvation. God feed you, Christ protect you, the Spirit live in you and wash over you with the love of God, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit go with you always. Amen.
And now it is time to make a joyful noise, so children, please come up and find something to shake, rattle, or roll, or hit, even. Here comes James. Lucian, come on down. Okay.